What do you do with a work that is already complete? Well, the first thing you do is you believe it. Because simply hearing that Jesus said this is not going to change your life. Believing it will. Most people have heard it is finished long before today. My question is, do you believe it? Do you have confidence today in the decisive, eternity-changing victory of Jesus Christ on the cross for every person who is in Him? Do you believe that?
Today on the Songtime broadcast, we wrap up our study with Colin Smith. As we've been looking at the final words of Jesus on the cross, he says, "It is finished." The question is not whether or not you believe Jesus said that in the gospel narrative, but do you believe it and have you applied it to your life? Stay tuned for that message, but first we're joined once again by Andreas Kassenberger, looking at the final days of Jesus and giving this account of Jesus' final hours on the cross. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. Today is Good Friday, and it is good. It's a day that we celebrate, and that might sound a little dark and a little bit grim, but the truth is that the cross is the object of our celebration, and it was intended to do so. As we see in John chapter 1, the John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that the Son of Man must be lifted up. And he doesn't just mean lifted up on a cross in a cruel way. He means that in the sense that it must be lifted up as something in our hearts, in our minds, and our affections. John will later write in his book Revelation, in his vision of heaven and all the people worshiping Jesus, he says, "What do they declare? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." This is how Jesus receives his honor, his worship, and his glory. And it's why we celebrate Good Friday, because the cross is our hope for humanity. Well, our guest today is Andreas Kassenberger, and we've been talking about his book this week, The Final Days of Jesus. As we're unpacking the events of Jesus leading up to the cross, we have this really strange encounter between Pilate and Jesus as they're talking about really Pilate trying to find any reason and any excuse that he can to set Jesus free, but Jesus ultimately knows that this is his destiny. This is what he came to earth for. And Pilate, he just can't find a good enough reason to let Jesus off the hook. So, Andreas, tell us a little bit about what's happening here in this discourse between Pilate and Jesus.
Absolutely. And I had the privilege for another book called Whatever Happened to Truth to dwell extensively and ponder, this very remarkable incident where Jesus stands before Pilate. And in chapter 18, verse 38, Pilate says to him, "What is truth?" You know, and you had truth incarnate standing right there in front of him. And so what you see in Pilate is that he genuinely seems to sense that Jesus is innocent of the charges and that the Jewish authorities just want to remove him just because he's inconvenient, without, of course, grasping, who Jesus truly was. And so he genuinely wants to pronounce a not guilty verdict, but what the Jews do, I think, very cleverly, is they initially try to present Jesus as some sort of a political threat when they talk to him about Jesus being an evildoer and an imposter. And Pilate doesn't quite take the bait. And so then, finally, in chapter 19, they come right out and acknowledge that, well, the real reason why we want Jesus on the cross is because he, being a mere man, made himself out to be the Son of God. That's in chapter 19, verse 7. And so I think I find that very interesting because I think of all the Gospels, again, John is the most explicit on that point, that what really got Jesus on the cross ultimately was the charge of blasphemy, that he claimed to be God. And isn't that interesting? Because that is, of course, exactly what's the root issue, isn't it? Was Jesus God or wasn't he?
It's interesting and very bold of Pilate then to have the inscription on the sign above Jesus' cross to say, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Is this an acknowledgement or is this a satire in a sense?
You're right. I think it definitely is a very poignant acknowledgement that Pilate certainly sensed that there was a sense in which Jesus's claims had some legitimacy without fully understanding all the implications. And as you know, the Jews, of course, try to get him to change the sign, and Pilate is at that point all of a sudden very firm and says, "What I've written, I've written." And so it's one of many examples in John's gospel of this double entendre, of this dual meaning that Pilate speaks better than he knows, and that Jesus was in fact the king of the Jews, the king of Israel, as Nathanael confessed him to be right at the beginning of the gospel, and as the crowds at the triumphal entry also confessed him as being.
You know, it's what's interesting in this as well, written from the perspective of John, the beloved disciple, is he's the only disciple there at the cross with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and you have this dialogue where Jesus starts to talk to John. I can't even wrap my mind around what's taking place here, but for our listeners to understand the relationship between John and Jesus, as well as John taking care of Mary, is probably a very important point that John's making here.
Well, it is. It really, gets to the heart of why do we even believe? And I think when you think about it, we have to rely on something, right, that helps us understand and convince us that what the Bible says about Jesus is true. And what you have here is you have John, the author of the gospel, staking a very strong claim of eyewitness testimony. So what he's telling us here is that I was there. I was there right at the beginning in chapter 1. I was among the first disciples Jesus called, himself a follower of John the Baptist originally. I was there in the upper room. I was there in the high priest's courtyard, right, when Peter was there as well. I was there at the cross, and then I was there, at the empty tomb, and then I saw the risen Jesus. And so this is really why you and I can have the confidence that the biblical story about Jesus is true, because we have it from somebody who was there every step of the way. And I think that's just very powerful and certainly gives me great assurance to know that the person who wrote the Gospel of John was an eyewitness.
And as we come to the conclusion of this account of Jesus' death, I think the very powerful statement, this is the final statement of Jesus on the cross here in the Gospel of John, is, "It is finished." It's not his life is finished. He's making a very theological point, as John is always doing here in his account of the gospel. Why is this statement, these final three words, so powerful?
Well, it is the climax of everything that the gospel points to. It's just one word in the original Greek, tetelestai. And so it's this outcry of Jesus that is essentially a declaration of victory. That, he has faithfully accomplished everything that God sent him to do, just like he prayed in the garden in John chapter 17. And so as a result, what that means is that Satan's power has been broken, right? His power over death, over sin. It opens up the way for the resurrection, for the giving of the Holy Spirit. It opens up the door to us to become children of God and to have eternal life in Jesus. And so it is really the critical moment in redemptive history that everything up to this point was preparing us for, and that everything after that is building on. And so really the rest of the Bible is basically just explaining what's so significant about that utterance, "It is finished," and how we now can have union with Christ and be filled with the Spirit and can enter into his mission.
We've been talking with Andreas Kostenberger about his book called The Final Days of Jesus. If you'd like to find out more information, simply head over to our website at songtime.com or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. Now, it's important and appropriate for us to take some time out of our day, really out of our week, to just a stop and pause. More than just listening to the radio as we're going about our day-to-day, we want to take some time today. This is Good Friday. We want to pause and reflect on what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. Now, there's some great resources available for you on our website at songtime.com. Some daily readings for Holy Week, and in them, it'll give you some time and pause and reflections, not only here from the Gospel of John, but also from the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So be sure to check those out again on our website at songtime.com. Well, in today's message, we're wrapping up our study looking at Jesus' final words on the cross as he declares, "It is finished." These words are not only give a completion to the story, but they also give us a declaration that the work of Christ is done. There's no more work to be done for you to be saved. That there's nothing else that you can do. You can't go back in time and change the events. This was what Jesus was meant to do. It was prophesied all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. The question is not whether or not it happened. The question is not even whether or not it was prophesied. The question is, do you believe it? And have you made this an important part of your day-to-day life? Here is Colin Smith with a closer look at the declaration of Jesus. It is finished.
So here's the heart of the message. Christ finished. You haven't. But with him, you will. There is hope for every person in every circumstance of life in this room today in Jesus Christ. He's not on the cross now. He is at the right hand of the Father, and he invites you to put your faith and your trust in him. So in these last minutes, let's try and make some application. We've seen that this work of Christ on the cross, it's complete. And that simply raises the question, now what do you do then with a completed work? And let me offer these answers. What do you do with a work that is already complete? Well, the first thing you do is you believe it. You believe it. Now, I want you to think about this. Because simply hearing that Jesus said this is not going to change your life. Believing it will. Believing it will. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he was surrounded by darkness, he was in absolute agony, and he was two breaths away from death. So when he said, "It is finished," it didn't really look like it, did it? He hung there in the darkness, hardly looked like Satan's power was broken, hardly looked like hell's gates were splintered, hardly looked like death's sting was drawn. And if you roll the story forward a week later, is the world different a week after Jesus died? No. Roll the story forward a month later. Roll it forward a year later, a century later, a millennium later. Is the world different after the death of Jesus from what the world was before the death of Jesus? Answer, no. No. Caesar was still on the imperial throne, one writer says. Selfishness and pride still dominated high places as they do today. The hearts of many seem to become no better, but rather worse with the passing of time. So we must conclude this, that when Jesus said it is finished, it was a cry of faith. It was a cry anticipating all that would come from his completed work, his suffering, his perfect life, his atoning death, and his decisive victory there on the cross. That means that for us, this is a cry that we must embrace by faith. So my question, most people have heard "it is finished" long before today. My question is, do you believe it? Not have you heard it, but do you believe this? Do you have confidence today in the decisive, eternity-changing victory of Jesus Christ on the cross for every person who is in him? Do you believe that? It wasn't obvious then. It isn't obvious now, except to one who has faith in Jesus. What else can you do with a completed work? Well, you believe it. That's the first thing. Then proclaim it. What a marvelous privilege it is for everyone who is a Christian to share the gospel. It really is good news, and that's what the word means. Listen. Every religion in the world basically says you need to do something to get yourself into heaven. Do the prayers, do the good works, observe the disciplines, whatever it is. The gospel alone says it is finished. The gospel alone says Jesus Christ has won the victory, and now he invites all those who will come to him to share the spoils of his battle. That's the good news. So our mission is not to go out into this community and to try and force people to do something for God. Our mission is to go out into this community and to tell people what God has done in Jesus Christ for them. and to say, make this yours, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, enter into all the good that he has accomplished. I don't like asking people for things, do you? But what a joy to be able to offer this, the good news of Jesus Christ. And here's the very last thing today. What can you do with a completed work? Believe it, proclaim it, and lastly, enjoy it. Now, friends, it is natural for us to feel that with something so great as eternal salvation, we need in some way to make a contribution. But how can you contribute to something that is already complete? You can't. A new house is built, you don't go on building it, you enter into it and enjoy it. A new road is laid, you don't go on digging it, you drive in the car and enjoy it. A priceless gift is purchased, you don't go on paying for it, you receive it and live in the good of it. One story and then we're through. A.W. Pink tells this story about a Christian farmer who was trying to explain the gospel to his friend who was a carpenter. And he was trying to explain the finished work of Christ, but the carpenter was one of these people, and there are many of them in churches, who feel that he really had to do something himself to contribute to it. Well, I summarize Pink's story this way. One day the farmer asked the carpenter to make him a gate. And when the gate was ready, the farmer took it home on the back of his wagon. He hung it there on the edge of the field. And the next day he invites the carpenter to come over and look at this completed work in position. When the carpenter arrives, he is amazed to see that the farmer is standing there with an axe. What are you going to do? The carpenter says. Well, says the farmer, I'm going to add a few cuts and a few of my own strokes to your work. The carpenter's astonished. He says, why would you need to do that? The gate's perfect. It's done. It's the best gate I've ever made. The farmer took no notice. He lifts the axe and he slashes into this gate. And the carpenter says, stop. You're completely ruining my work. The farmer says, yes, that is exactly what you are trying to do when you make your own miserable additions to the completed work of Jesus Christ. It is finished. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned, he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a savior. Is he your savior? Christ finished, you haven't. But with him, you will. You will. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and put your trust in his finished work today.
What a great way to bring our Good Friday program to a close and this message to a satisfying conclusion. Because it's one thing to look at the story of Jesus and his final words to say, it is finished, and to accept that as a historical event. And this has been one of those events that has been scrutinized by scholars for millennia, and yet what we see here is a completion to a story that was started thousands of years earlier in the garden, the original Garden of Eden, when God provided a promise that he would provide a redeemer for mankind. And that's seen in Jesus Christ, who goes to the cross and says, it's finished. That which was from the beginning, right? That's how John begins his gospel. He takes us all the way back to Genesis and beyond. He takes us before Genesis. And he says, that which was coexistent, co-eternal with God, he came into the world as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And now he goes to the cross and he dies for our sins. And he declares it is finished. But it's more than just a historic event. It is an event that demands a response, a call and response. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus accomplished what he did on the cross for you? Do you believe that he loves you? He cares for you? The evidence that he came into this world and died in your place. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. If you believe it, do you trust it? Now, in English, we have different words for what is essentially the same word in Greek. the word faith, believe, and trust are all the same word, and we differentiate them. But for this reason, I think it's important, right? Do you believe it? Yes, it's an event that happened, but do you trust it? Do you have faith in it? Do you rely upon it? That's the real question, right? Do you trust it? Day by day, are you living out the gospel? And are you doing so in such a manner that other people can see your faith and join with you in giving glory to our Father in heaven? Let's declare that we have been redeemed. This is the day to turn to those around us and say, we belong to Christ and He belongs to us. Come and see the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I hope that we've been able to encourage you. And if we have, I hope that you'll not only be an encouragement to us, but through our programming today, you'll be an encouragement to those around you. If you have and you do, let us know. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. That's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, John 13:34-35. Hear the words of Jesus. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.